and the iniquity of Sodom. I've shared a few thoughts with you on this. You know, America is a lot like Sodom. It really is. And when you understand that everybody, let's pray first. Father, we need you. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd drive this truth home to our hearts. Help us to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sodom is a lot like, America is a lot like Sodom. It really is. Now, what most people think is that, well, the only sin of Sodom was homosexuality or sodomy. That wasn't even the main sin. I'm going to tell you right now. The devil's got a good plan going with that whole thing, because everybody thinks that sodomy was the sin of Sodom. That was it. It was just sodomy. In fact, it wasn't even sodomy that God destroyed it for. He says right here why he destroyed it. But nobody looks into it. They say, well, see, they were sodomites. They were going after the angels. Yeah, but how did they get that way? How did they get to that point? How did they get there? How? Here's how. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 48. Just how you and I both get into sin. All of us get into sin. This is how it happens. Just like this. Verse number 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. He's speaking to Israel here. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Fullness of bread. An abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Boy, this seems to be like what Paul Harvey would call the rest of the story, doesn't it? You see one glimpse in the book of Genesis and you think, well, this is what they, oh, he destroyed them because of that. He destroyed them because of homelessness. No, it took that degraded to that. It didn't start there. It did not start there. It started where it starts in every man's heart. In every person's heart. Pride. That's where it starts. Look at the verses again. I want you to look at the verses again. What he says here. He says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Number one, pride. I like what, I'm not an Anglican, but I like what Matthew Henry said about it. He said, pride, the sin that turned angels into devils. Amen? The sin that turned angels into devils. And by the way, if this sermon isn't for you, it's definitely for you and me. Because the first second you try to say, well, I don't have any. The first second you try to say, well, I don't have any pride. Oh, you do. You're guilty of it. We all are. Amen. And you can stop your ears and harden your heart to it. But that's all part of pride, by the way. Did you know that? I'm going to show you that here today from the Word of God, that your hardness of heart is nothing more than pride. That's all that it is. You know how many people that I've seen that they're educated, they've been in churches for many years, they know all the answers to everything there, but they're hard to the truth. When they get the unadulterated, pure truth from the Word of God, they're hard. Why? They're proud. It's pride. Amen. It's pride. Again, remember this. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. It's the sin that gets everyone. This was the iniquity, pride. The wickedness of pride. The first sin of all. The sin that all sins stem from. Pride. Ezekiel 28 and verse number 12 says this, Son of man, you know, it's interesting. It took down the anointed cherub that covereth. You understand that? It took down the greatest angel that was ever created. Well, he's not really an angel, but he was the anointed cherub. Cherubs are different than angels, but that's a different study. But anyway, cherubs, he was the anointed cherub that covereth. And it took him down. You think about that. Pride took him down. So, turn to Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse number 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Iniquity. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. What is it? Pride. His heart was lifted up. What is that? Pride. The Bible says of the kings, one king, I think it was Joash or another king like that, one of the child kings, it says he was marvelously blessed by God when he was small in his own eyes. He was marvelously blessed when he was small in his own eyes. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. His wisdom was corrupted by what is pride. Now, if that sin turns an angel into a devil, what's it do to you? If you're a born-again believer, I'm going to promise you one thing according to Scripture is what God promised you. He will deal with your pride. You can be as stubborn as a mule as you want if you want to be, but God's going to deal with your pride. And if you feel yourself cracking like an egg, don't wonder why. Because as long as you harden yourself to God, you're going to crack. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. I shall devour thee. Notice how many times God uses I here. He's telling, and Satan, by the way, uses that five different times when he's talking about what he's going to do. And we'll get to that in a second in Isaiah. He said five times he uses I will do this. I will do that. I will do this. I will do that. What's he acting like, God? In fact, pride was his sin. It's a sin that he fell from. It's a sin that he's used on mankind. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee, and all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. We see another account here of Satan, of Lucifer, the fallen one. He fell through pride. Man will fall through pride. Man does fall through pride. How art thou, verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He lifts himself up above God. He says he's going to be God. I will be like the Most High. I will be God. I want to sit on the sides of the north. I want to sit in the congregation of the sides of the north. I will rule this world. I will rule heaven. I will rule the angels. My throne will be above the stars of God. He's speaking of the stars are likened to angels. You can see it all over the scriptures. Just do a little bit of study and you'll see that's what they are. All through the scriptures, you'll see it. Stars and angels. He's talking about ruling. A throne is a dominion. He's saying, I will be God. Why? Pride. That beautiful, shining one, Lucifer, was perfect until iniquity was found in him. What was the iniquity that was found in him? His heart was lifted up. His heart was lifted up. So he fought and he warred against God, and he has for so many years now. You know how many people war against God? How many of God's people are so proud they war against the truth? They fight it. They don't like it. Don't want to submit to it. Why is that? Easy. Pride. We can make any excuse we want to for not obeying the truth, but in the end, it's nothing more than pride. I've seen men that'll destroy their whole family because of their pride. Won't admit that they're doing something wrong. They got the wrong direction going. They're messing things up. They need to regroup. They need to change some things. They'll let their whole family be wiped out and keep doing things the same way. Not wanting to admit that, whoops, I failed. I got to get some things right. I got to fix some things. Not wanting to admit that. How many can that be said of today, though? Look at America. Let's talk about America for a second here in pride. What's a big deal in America? America's Got Talent, American Idol, beauty pageants. What's that about? Pride. It's about pride. That's all it is. Showcase in front of everybody how good we can do something. It's just a concentration of the flesh. The modeling, the showboating, weightlifters, sports figures, all of them, pride. Got to show off. Got to show everybody what they can do. Pride. That's what it is. It's absolute pride. It was the first sin. It was a sin that God destroyed Sodom for. Pride. He thought it was homosexuality. He thought it was sodomy. No, it was pride. He said it. He said, I destroyed them because of their pride. That's why. Well, come on, folks. Look at it. The anointed cherub that covereth was brought down through his pride. Are you wiser than he was? Full of wisdom, it says about him. Solomon was brought down through his pride. What does he say? Moreover, I got me wives and I got me riches and I got me everything. And what did I have? Vanity, vanity. All is vanity. The wisest man in the world brought down why? Pride. I don't care if you're rich. Doesn't matter if you're poor. Pride will bring you down. There are people that are proud of being poor. There are people that are proud of being rich. The Bible warns us of that. Turn to Psalms chapter 10, verse number 4. This is the proud man. Psalm 10, 4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Kind of hard to think about God when you're thinking about yourself, isn't it? When your focus is self. How about this saying that's very popular today? Oh, I'm proud to be an American. Why? Never should be proud to be an American. Why would you be proud to be an American? Pride's a sin. You ought to thank God that He gave you a country to be in. That's what you ought to do. But the reverse happens, and it's pride. And people say, I'm proud to be an American. What for? By the way, I'm not. I'm thankful that God put me here. But I'm ashamed of this country.
Amen.
I'm absolutely ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of the fact that we export wickedness all over this world through Hollywood, through music, through our military, through everything that's going on out there, a death and a killing that's taking place in lands all over the world, invading countries, stepping over borders, doing all these things, exalting ourselves above the stars of God. An empire. Not a republic. It was that's what brought Rome down. They decided to be an empire, not a republic. Brought them down. So many people, you know, the famous song that went around, I'm proud to be an American, went around everywhere and they're vaunting it and they're, you know, everybody's just, oh yeah, you know, why? That's the difference. Pride means that you did something for it. Thankfulness means that God did it. That you're grateful to God for what He's done. But see, when you're proud, you don't think you can lose it. When you're proud, you don't see the sin in it. You don't see the wrong in it. You know how many people that you try to have a conversation with about the way America's going and the direction America's going and how angry they get about it? When you try to talk to them about it, how mad they get. Why? Because they're so proud to be an American that they don't see the sin of America, just like the sins of Sodom. Exact same, no difference. In fact, I think we're worse. I think we're worse than Sodom. Sodom didn't have the power that we have. That ought to tell you something. They didn't have the power that we have. They didn't have the money that we have. They didn't have the reach that we have. By the way, this won't be preached in most churches, just so you know. Because they're too busy worshiping America. That's right. Remember, God is not in all their thoughts. People get mad when you preach messages like this. Why? Because you're supposed to think highly of these people, these politicians that are running around stealing from people. You know, I'm sorry, I don't think highly of politicians that steal money from people and give it to people that don't do anything. I think I don't care if they wear an R or a D. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. It's crooked to do that. It's wicked to do that. Very wicked. By the way, let me just say something so you understand this. If someone is not saved and born again with the Holy Ghost of God inside of them, this is real simple. Then the Bible says that they have the spirit of disobedience in them. What is that? The devil. The mystery of iniquity. So when I say that those people are led by the devil, they are. I do mean it. Absolutely mean it. When a man like Ron Paul stands up and tells Congress, you're a bunch of sociopaths. I agree. They are. Yep, they are. Satan was proud of his looks. Satan was proud as if he created himself. Pride will keep your eyes off of the Creator and your eyes will be on yourself. You'll think great things about yourself and forget the God who created you. Look at Lucifer. God was not in all his thoughts. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride came first, then Sodom was destroyed. How about Nebuchadnezzar? Remember him? Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Well, now why would Nebuchadnezzar make a statement like that? Because God turned him into an animal, that's why. He had the heart of an animal. And he ran around like a dog or a beast out in the field for a while. Till he knew that the Most High God reigneth, and setteth up who he will, and taketh out who he will. Yeah. See, Nebuchadnezzar had a God complex, like most leaders do. Most people in leadership, we have a president right now that has a God complex. He thinks he's God too. Oh no, he doesn't. Really? Why are they spying on every world leader around the world then? What's the Antichrist going to do? You won't be able to buy, you won't be able to sell, you won't be able to do anything unless what? You have the mark. And they'll know everything you're doing. So what's this Antichrist want to be doing then? Same thing. He's spying on every leader around the whole world. They all hate us. Why? Oh, they hate us for our liberty. No, they hate us because we're intrusive. They hate us because we're spying on them. They hate us because we're watching them all over the world. And we're taping every phone conversation they have. That's why. What is that? Why would we do that? Pride. Want to rule like God. You know, the Bible says something about a king not listening to everything. Because somebody might say something bad about you. But don't forget, you've said bad things too about other people. So when people are listening in to see what you're saying, listen to what you're saying. Daniel 5, verse 18. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride. Look at that. His mind was hardened in pride. That's what happened to Pharaoh. His heart was hardened, and God said, I will harden his heart then. Fine, you want to harden your heart? I'll harden it even more. That's what he did. But it says here that Nebuchadnezzar, it says that his heart, his mind hardened in pride, and he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Why? So they would know, so he would know that the Most High God reigneth. See, Nebuchadnezzar thought he took over the world because of himself, because of his might. But God said, no, I used you as my servant, and I let you take over the world. In fact, I gave you power to take over the world. I did that. By the way, when the Antichrist does what he does, it's because God lets him do it. That's why his kingdom will be diverse from all kingdoms of the earth. Why? Because he's not doing it of his own power. God's allowing him to do it. God allows that. That's why it goes so far as it does. Because God doesn't restrain it or hold it back. He says, okay, world, you want it? Here you go. Here's your Superman you've been making movies about for years. Here's the one you wanted. You can have him. Just like he did with King Saul when he gave Israel. You want a king? Okay, I'll give you what's in your heart. Here's your king. Now reap what you sowed. You want to harden your heart? God may give you over to it. In pride, God may give you over to it. You'll suffer the consequences of a hard heart. Pharaoh was proud like that. The nations are proud today. America is proud, boasting of its military, its spy capabilities, that it can't be taken down. Oh, we can intercept anything. You have to ask yourself a question. Are you proud to be an American or thankful that God has blessed you to live here? I can be thankful to God and still be ashamed of my country for its sin and wickedness. Boy, you do that today and people don't like that though. They get upset with you. They get very upset with you. Right. That's not a patriotic spirit. I know I have the spirit of Christ. I don't have a patriotic spirit. I'm not set on the American government or America. I understand that this is going to fall, and these leaders in this country are going to sign it over to fall, because it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. If you think America will keep its absolute sovereignty as time goes on, no. Look at every nation that turned their back on God. They got proud. See, America has forgotten what made her great. God. America forgot that. They thought it was the economy. Right? It was a bunch of people that lived for Jesus Christ, started churches, raised their families for the Lord, put this Bible everywhere they could possibly put it, and preached it everywhere they could possibly preach it. But after the Constitution came into place, the Bill of Rights was set up and everything else, a lot of the men went back in and they fell asleep. And the Baptists were the worst at it. They fell asleep. Now you have churches that are merged with the state, hand in hand. Nonprofit 501c3 corporations. I think people say, well, that's not that big of a deal, is it? I don't know. Ask God if it is. Should anybody else tell you what to preach? Should I follow a set of rules for preaching other than what's in the Word of God? If I do follow one of those things, then am I not lifting that up above God's Word and saying, well, okay, now you're my boss. You can tell me what to do. Because I'll tell you something right now, if we couldn't own property in America anyway, or hold property in America anyway, without becoming a 501c3 or a nonprofit corporation or a tax exempt corporation, then we wouldn't have any. Because I could care less. Well, some people won't come to your church if you don't have a building. Good. I don't think we want them here. If that building means that much to them, if brick and mortar mean that much to you, you don't have the right spirit anyway. Amen. That becomes that important to you? Because it wasn't to your forefathers as they were chased through caves and got their heads cut off and their heads stuck on poles and their little children as they walked up the road. They didn't really care about that. They didn't ask the king if they could have permission to preach. They didn't go get a permit. Well, you're just a rebel. Yeah. Just like Peter was. Didn't we straightly command you not to preach in his name? Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We are not careful to answer thee, O king. But what happens? Pride gets in there. Pride gets in there. And we got to have everything. In America, we have to have everything. Pride destroys. Churches are being destroyed because of pride today. America is being destroyed. America's forgotten God through pride, just like Sodom did. That's right. These leaders today, they're very proud. They push their agendas, prating about doing what they want, making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to be warlords, basically, or lords over people, not servants. Here's what we have today in America. This position of a congressman has been lifted up to where they're like a ruler over you. They're not. They're not a ruler over you. They are not the rulers of America. Read Romans 13 and understand it. They are not the rulers of America. We have a constitution, the law, the written law of the land. And the people, it's a government by the people. Right, not anymore. But today we have leaders that go up there and they make as much money as they want to. They make millions of dollars in a short amount of time. You don't think they're going to sell you out for that? Of course they are. Their hearts are lifted up with pride. And they sell you right down the river. And they'll do it gladly. Oh, it's not pride. Oh, yeah, I know. It's not pride to write a bill that enslaves everybody else but keeps you out of it and exempts you from it. And then you ask these people point blank, and the President of the United States who thought of this wonderful CARE Act, well, the devil did, but anyway, he's just the mouthpiece for him, but thought about this wonderful Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare, but then says, somebody asks, you know, what about you? Are you going to take it? Well, no. You know, I'd be real leery about somebody that says to take something and they won't take it. It's kind of like somebody saying, hey, take this pill, but you take it first. Why don't you want to take it? If it's so good, why don't you want it? If it's so good, why didn't Congress want it? If it's so good, why don't the unions want it? If it's so good, how come big corporates running away from it? How come nobody wants it, but you're supposed to take it? And all these people that sat around there and allowed that to go through, pride. They've exalted themselves above the people. It's pride. Nothing more than pride. How about the gay agenda, the sodomite agenda, and pride? They use the rainbow as their symbol, which the rainbow belongs to God. The rainbow is the sign of who God is. It's around the throne of God. Everywhere we see in scriptures, the rainbow is around the throne of God every time we see him. But this sodomite agenda has stolen the rainbow and tried to get God's glory. It is interesting. There's seven colors in the rainbow, seven primary colors, and Satan had seven words. He said, I will be like the Most High. I'll be just like God. So I'll steal God's symbol. And what was the sin of Sodom? Sodomy. What is the sin of Sodom? Pride. What is the gay agenda or the sodomite agenda push on all their signs, their parades? What are they called? They're called gay pride parades. Accident? No. It's the first sin of Sodom, pride. It wasn't homosexuality that was the first sin, it was pride. That's the first sin of every man is pride. All of us have to watch that. All of us have to be careful in our pride. You and I must daily fight pride. Sometimes we're too proud to admit we've been wrong and sinned and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes we're too proud to admit we need help. You know, you'll continue in a sin for a long time when you're too proud to get help with it. By the way, let me just say something to you. You can't hide it. You think you can hide it, but you're not hiding anything. When a person is in sin, it shows all over their countenance. When their heart is hardened in pride, it shows all over their countenance. I mean, you can act like, you can put the smile on, you can put the uniform on, you can do everything like that. But pride shows. And the hardness of the heart shows. It's transparent. You think it's not, but it is on the countenance of your face. It's there. You and I have to daily fight it. Paul had to fight it. Paul said when he was taken up to the third heaven, God left him a thorn in his flesh. Why? So he wouldn't be lifted up. What do you mean? Why would he be lifted up? I don't know, because he saw God and he saw heaven. I mean, going back and writing to people and saying, man, you're never going to believe what I just saw. And I mean, telling people that you saw, you were taken up to the third heaven. So God left him, what, a thorn in the flesh. He said, yeah, I've given you this power, but I won't give you power to take away the thorn in the flesh that you have. Isn't that something? Paul was able to heal other people, but God wouldn't let him heal himself. Think about it. Why? Because he would be exalted above measure, he said. God leaves things in your flesh. God will allow things to happen so you don't get lifted up, so you don't get proud. He'll allow it to happen. Why? To break you. Not in a bad way, but so you'll be humble. Because a proud man doesn't have God in his thoughts. So God will leave that thorn in the flesh sometimes. God will allow that to happen to get you to see your need for Him. Paul couldn't depend on the power that God gave him. He had to depend on God. Paul could not depend on the apocalyptic power that he had of an apostle, that he could lay hands on somebody, he could send something to somebody, and they would be healed. Peter's shadow could walk past somebody, they'd be healed. Yet God said, yes, I've given you this power, but you'll not use it for this. I'll put a thorn in your flesh, lest you be exalted above measure. Sometimes God will allow you to have some health problems. Sometimes He'll allow you to do some things. Sometimes He'll allow some things to happen to you. Why? Teach you a lesson. Keep you humble. That's a gracious thing, by the way. That's a merciful thing, by the way. Amen. I think it's funny, ironic, I put this message together yesterday, went out shooting, and I had my own accident. Hit myself in the head. Say, what's that for? Humble me. You know, for me, hunting and doing things outside like that is a very humbling experience. Why? Because it's out of my ordinary. I spent 31 years of my life doing nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. But I want to teach my son how to do some things. So learn some things the hard way and have to be humbled by God to do it. Do I like it? Not really. I don't like being humbled. Why? Because I'm like you, I'm too proud. Come on. That's right. You just do something in your life out of your element a little bit, let God deal with you. He'll show you how you're not so good. You don't got everything figured out. Isn't that embarrassing? Sure it is. It's good for you though. Helps build you and realize where you're at. Helps show you that you got to look to heaven. Look to God. You got to learn some things. Learn some lessons. Something that's needed. Amen? Desperately needed in the times we live in today, too, for every man. The pride of America. America is full of pride. We are full of pride. Sometimes we're too proud to admit it. Men do not... Don't be too proud to admit you can't afford something, that you have to change something, you have to do some things differently. Don't be too proud to do that. Sometimes we're too proud to read the Word of God and just follow it. Well, that's too simple. I'm way too spiritually mature for that. Well, obviously you're not, because you're not obeying the plain Word of God. So go back to step A. Sometimes you get yourself so lifted up that, man, you're spiritually beyond reading and studying your Bible and making sure you pray every day. Oh, you've been a Christian long enough, you'll be just fine. You're fooling yourself. Your pride's got the best of you. You better get in that book. You better get on your knees. You better get praying. I don't care how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter. If you're a new Christian, you're beyond your knees. you've been saved for many, 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 many years, the devil will tempt you just like anybody else. Proverbs 6 and verse number 17. Bible says these six things, yea, seven, are an abomination to God. A proud look. Isn't that interesting? First thing, a proud look. Proud look. God hates the proud look of a man or a woman that vaunts themselves above their brethren. We have to be careful that when we reprove others, we're not proud about it, but humble with meekness and fear, and we give the answer to those that ask it. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. I've met quite a few of those men. I've been one before. We have to fight it every day. Every day. I've met people that don't want to learn from when I first started this church, a 30-year-old kid. I met many of them that didn't want to. He doesn't even have a degree. It was Brother Russ the first time he met me, by the way. He walks into the church service after the service and he goes, "Man, I'm glad to meet you, but I didn't realize you were such a young punk." I just looked at him and I was like, "Thank you." I just kind of smiled and I haven't yet, but no. You'll find out on the trip down there. No. Yeah. Whatever. Doesn't matter. It's not about me anyway. But it was funny. Lord dealt a lot with Brother Russell when he got here and taught him a lot of things. Amen. And I've learned a lot from him too. So, but it's amazing what the Lord will do if you humble yourself and let the Lord teach you. But I've heard that before. I've seen that before with you know, thinking you can't learn from somebody else or thinking that, you know, it's got to be this way or I'm going to go straighten the preacher out. Now, I'm all for you bringing the Word of God, but just make sure you bring it.
Amen.
I'm fine with it. I'll be reproved by the book. I don't care about your opinion, though. Amen? That doesn't matter to me. Satan will not go unpunished for his pride. He'll be destroyed. The Antichrist will be destroyed and pride will destroy any man because it's a sin against God. It stunk so bad to God and he hated it so much that he destroyed Sodom for it. Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. I've seen that, by the way, a high look when you go into some churches too. The people walk in and they got their nose so far up in the air. Hard to believe they can breathe. Somebody comes in dirty clothes or don't have a lot. Proverbs 28, verse number 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. You know, I've seen this to be true as well. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. I've seen it many times. With pride comes contention. Only with pride comes contention. I've seen people try to cause trouble and cause strife with pride. But I'll tell you, it doesn't worry me when it comes because I know what God will do to it. He'll take care of it. He always does. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Malachi chapter 4, verse number 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do so wickedly, that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Pride. 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, proud, a sign of perilous times. Pride gets the best of them. James chapter 4, verse number 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I preached a message on that. You can go back and listen to it, The War on Your Pride. This was a couple years ago in the James chapter 4 series that I preached here, about 12 messages on James chapter 4, the first like 5 verses or something. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. You see that? That's a local body right there. You see what he says there? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. If you want God's power, it ain't going to be on you by being proud. It won't be there. If you want God's presence, I don't mean indwelling. We understand that when you're saved, you're indwelled by the Spirit. We understand that. I mean His presence and His power, making His presence known by His power and His moving. You can quench the Spirit of God. God is at war with pride. He hates it. And the sin of Sodom, the first sin, was pride. That's what brought it all down. Pride is what will make a man, when an angel walks into a room and think that they could do what they, in their city, think that they could do what they could do to that man. I'll give you another one. You look at America today and you look at some of the things that I see just on the news of police officers and other things that are going on in America. Of some of the things they're doing, like people standing there and they're huddled down like this, and a police officer comes by and maces them all, and they're just sitting there. Or a video of a police officer kicking a woman in the head. What do you think that is? Pride. They think because they got that badge, they're God, and they can do whatever they want, but God don't act like that. They're acting like a devil. Another one of a lady that was picked up for being drunk, and hey, I understand drunkenness is a sin. I'm not condoning it. I preach against it. But the point is, this lady, they put her in a cell, they walked her back out, and then the video shows her walking back in the room, and this cop, well, not walking back, and then this cop picked this lady up and threw her, and she went head first into a cement slab, and it broke her face. Yeah. And what... I watched a video of a cop standing there and I mean, he's literally standing there and he roundhouse, a lady's in handcuffs like this on her knees. This is America. This is not China. She's on her knees like this, handcuffed, and he roundhouse kicks her in the face. Pride. These same people will bust people for drugs but sell them to somebody else. Pride. All of that is pride. It's nothing more. It's nothing more than pride. That's what it is. Why do you think you should be able... Oh, just recently, attorney general. A man running for... No, he is an attorney general. I think he might be running for governor. I'm not for sure. But anyway... He's caught on at an underage drinking party of his son's. I don't know if you see this on the news. Of his son having an underage drinking party, and he was there taking pictures of all these indecently clad ladies. By the way, this same guy does public service announcements against underage drinking. Pride. You know what the Attorney General does? He's the guy that writes, the federal Attorney General is the guy that writes the on the pack of cigarettes, you know, don't smoke, you know, whatever, it'll kill you. But we'll sell them anyway. Anyway, that's what they write on. So he's the guy writing all that stuff, telling people not to drink, and he's at drunken underage drinking parties. He said, well, I didn't know anybody was drinking there. Yeah, because see, when I walk into a room full of people that are drinking, I can't smell it or anything. It's just normal. And Barack Obama says he's a Christian. And people believe him. Right, all you gotta do is say it, and that's fine. That's what goes today. What is all that though? It's pride. It's thinking that you're above the law, and you can do what you want to, and America is full of it. You see it in their politicians everywhere. Their politicians are making backdoor deals that they throw Martha Stewart in jail for. I'm not condoning anything she's done, I'm just saying they throw her in jail. What is that? It's pride, but these politicians, they do it every day. They make these deals every day. Look at Bill Clinton, what he used to do. This is America now, folks. Wake up. America is Sodom. I guess you could call it Sodom 2.0. Because that's exactly what it is today. Wicked. But you know what the problem is? Most Bible-believing Christians, or say they're Bible-believing Christians, don't want to admit that these guys are devils. They don't want to talk about that stuff. They don't want to let it out there. We got to cover it. We can't talk about that. America's great. No, it's not. It's crooked. I went up to the convention. I was a delegate there. I watched the crooked stuff they did up there. I watched the backroom deals they did. I watched the fact that Mitt Romney had 150 lawyers there trying to make sure that Ron Paul's people didn't take over the convention. I was there and watched it. I seen it all right there, okay? I know they're crooked. That Republican Party is crooked. Why do you think they got in trouble with all their finances up there? You better start trusting the living God and realize this is a cesspool of wicked sin. This nation, whatever we got coming to us, we deserve. We deserve it. We turned our back on every rule of law and every bit of principle that we ever had in this nation. And for all these Republicans, and for all these people that everybody lift up and think they're good, what did they do when they had a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican President about abortion? Nothing but use it to make money off of you. That's what they did. They got everybody to give them money. Just like they used this recent government shutdown. All that is to pump them with money. So they put on a show. It's a game, folks. When you understand the spirit that's behind it, it's all a game. These people are not righteous. They're not. They don't hold up this book. They don't stand for this book. They don't. If they did, then why is our country in the shape it's in? If these are godly people that are leading our country, why is it in the shape it's in? Right. Where's the fruit of godliness in this nation now? No, you know why? Because America's drunk with pride. Drunk with pride. So you can't talk about politics. Yeah, tell that to your founding fathers. As they preached the Bible and talked about how wicked the king was for what he was doing to them and how he was forcing them to do everything. You know, we have millions of abortions that go on. We have millions and millions and millions of murders and death and rape and everything else over the years we've had. We have congressmen that are caught in wicked places and wicked doing wicked things. And then they just give some look. And then people just forget about it. These people are immoral, wicked people. And it all stems from pride in America. We think we can get away with it because we're Americans. We think that we can export wickedness through Hollywood and everything else all over the world, and we can get away with it because we're Americans. It's pride. Israel thought the same thing, didn't they? In fact, this is what God is doing in this verse in Ezekiel. He is reproving Israel, not Sodom. He is telling them, hey, listen, you're worse than Sodom. That's what he told Israel. He said, you're worse than thy sister Sodom. That's America today. But nobody wants to call America to repentance today. Very few want to preach about the evils of America today and about the evils that are going on among Bible-believing, so-called Bible-believing Christians today and the sin that is acceptable to them. Why? Because of pride. You talk to most Americans today, and most Americans that say they are Christians today, you know the number one thing that they say? They believe they're going to be raptured out before anything hits at all. Why? Because we have some entitlement here. Like we deserve something. Like we deserve just to be taken away. Oh yeah, God, you know, God's going to take us out. We're not going to have any struggle or any tribulation at all or anything like that. Why? Well, because, I mean, we're Americans. That's the spirit that's there. But you tell that, and I've said, well, see, the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against church. I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. But let me ask you something. Did the gates of hell prevail against the Waldensians? No. They still had churches, but many died. Many were persecuted. Did the gates of hell prevail against all the martyrs of the faith all the way down through the centuries? No. They died and went to heaven. They didn't prevail against them. They were martyred for their faith. And the churches roll on. So that's a frivolous argument to say that. My point is that Americans think that they have some kind of, when your brethren over in China are being persecuted daily. Tortured and killed all over the world. In Islamic countries, there's believers that are being beheaded and killed every day. But you know what Americans want to hear? Just like they did in Israel. Prophesy unto me smooth things. Yeah, just make it easy and nice. Be nice. Speak nice things. Yeah, there was a prophet that said that too, that he was called in. And the king said, well, I hate this prophet because he never says anything good. Because the lying prophet said, hey, go ahead and fight. You're going to win. So then the prophet of the Lord came in and they asked him. He said, what do you think? And he goes, oh, go ahead. Yeah, you're going to do fine. You just go ahead. Go on to war. You're going to be great, man. You're going to get a victory here. And he slapped him across the face because he said it. Why? Because he was being sarcastic because he said, you're going to go into your slaughter and you're going to die. And you deserve it too. That's what he was saying to him because you're wicked. What America needs most is repentance. It needs repentance preached all over the land because of our pride. We have military pride. We've got fiscal pride. Churches have spiritual pride. The iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride.